Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Laura Richcreek with Laura's Voice. Today, I have retired third grade teacher from the Warsaw Community School System, James Morrison, along with his wife, Esther Morrison, who also taught a number of years in WCCS. They're here to discuss their legacy of family literacy using the Little House on the Prairie books by Laura Ingalls Wilder. It is National Family Literacy Month, after all. And because it's Thanksgiving, and because Jim Morrison read the series to his third graders for years, he is going to read an excerpt from On the Banks of Plum Creek, when the Ingalls enjoy Thanksgiving dinner.
On the Banks of Plum Creek by Laura Ingalls Wilder. Grasshopper weather was strange weather. Even at Thanksgiving, there was no snow. The door of the dugout was wide open while they ate Thanksgiving dinner. Laura could see across the bare willow tops, far over the prairie, to the place where the sun would go down. There was not one speck of snow. The prairie was like soft yellow fur. The line where it met the sky was not sharp now. It was smudged and blurry. Grasshopper weather, Laura thought to herself. She thought of grasshoppers' long, folded wings, and their high-jointed hind legs. Their feet were thin and scratchy. Their heads were hard, with large eyes on the corners, and their jaws were tiny and nibbling. If you caught a grasshopper and held him, and gently poked a green blade of grass into his jaws, they nibbled it fast. They swiftly nibbled it in the whole blade of grass till the tip of it went into them and was gone. Thanksgiving dinner was good. Pa had shot a wild goose for it. Ma had to stew the goose because there was no fireplace and no oven in the little stove. She made dumplings in the gravy. There were corn dodgers and mashed potatoes. There were butter and milk and stewed dried plums, and three grains of parched corn lay beside each tin plate. At the first Thanksgiving dinner, the poor pilgrims had nothing to eat but three parched grains of corn. Then Indians came and brought them turkeys, so the pilgrims were thankful. Now, after they had eaten their good big Thanksgiving dinner, Laura and Mary could eat their grains of corn and remember the pilgrims. Parched corn was good. It crackled and crunched, and its taste was sweet and brown. Then Thanksgiving was past, and it was time to think of Christmas. Still, there was no snow and no rain. The sky was gray, the prairie was dull, and the winds were cold, but the cold winds blew over the top of the dugout.
Thanks for being with me today.
Hey, this is fun.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
How would you define family literacy, considering this is National Family Literacy Month?
I would define it as the ability to read and write.
What prompted you to read the Little House books to your students?
My wife.
Can you tell me more?
Well, I guess I wanted to read something so that they could listen and enjoy being read to. She suggested the Little House books, and I found that they were something that talked about endurance or enduring. So I started to read them, and the more I read them, the more I liked them. I read them for about 34 years.
Wow.
Started with the first one, going through and to the last day of school. But I never got through all of them.
Okay, that was one of my questions. How far did you actually get through the series?
Till about the fourth or fifth book.
That's all. I thought you got much further than that.
So did I.
I thought there were only the two that you didn't get read, these Happy Golden Years and the first 4 years.
That's my thought, too.
So then the last one I read then would have been the fifth book, which right offhand I can't remember the title of it.
Now, when did you get this hardback set, or more threadbare than it is hardback?
I started reading them about my fourth year of teaching.
How long did you teach, anyway?
38 and a half years.
Okay, and so how many years did you actually read the Little House books?
About 34 years.
Okay. Did you always start with Little House in the Big Woods?
Yes, I started with the first one and just kept reading them a chapter a day until the last day of school.
And some of those chapters are pretty long.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe some of them, I might, a few of them, I maybe divided in half.
Well, and what's neat is that each chapter has stories with several stories within it, so you can stop at good points. Yeah, I remember that when I was reading them to my kids. Do you have a favorite amongst the ones you read?
No, they're all my favorites.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Do you have a particular story that you enjoy from one of the books?
Enjoyed everything I read in them, wherever they were, whatever they were doing.
What are some things you noticed about this practice of reading the Little House books to third graders of the 70s, 80s, and 90s?
Well, for one thing, it helped to calm them down. I read right after lunch break, so they just got off a vigorous lunch hour.
Recess.
And this helped to calm them down, get them ready for the afternoon, and they sat and listened.
What surprised you? Or was it that they sat and listened?
Yeah, that. And they did that all through the 70s and 80s and 90s, too.
And I remember having my own set. I think I had my own set and read along with you. And I remember Katie McCleary, Adam Sheets. Sometimes we'd crowd around a book and we'd all follow along with you. Did you have students every year who brought their own copy and read along with you? Or did they primarily listen?
It was mostly listening, but I know some of the students got into it enough that they actually visited some of these places.
Wow.
They visited there, and a lot of them would come back and tell me about it. That I enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I still have students mentioning that. In fact, many times when I see a student of mine, he or she will mention about the Little House books. And some of them are reading them to their kids.
And how many years have you been retired?
19.
So we've been talking about reading these books to your students, but can you tell me about when you started reading them to your kids?
We were thinking about that today, and
we
can't remember actually sitting down and reading them with your kids, but maybe that's because he read them in school to you.
There was that, since you had both Aaron and me.
Do you remember us reading them? One of both of us reading?
When I was sick, I remembered because I would request that.
Okay.
And so I'd be sick on the couch and you'd be reading to me, and then pretty soon you'd read slower and slower and then you'd stop.
Oh.
And then your head would be down, and I was so disappointed because I was the one who didn't feel well and you were falling asleep. Okay, so you don't remember specifically when you started. I wonder if you started about the age of, like, when Aaron was in third grade, and then that's kind of when you,
be interesting.
I should ask Aaron
if he remembers that being read to.
Since you're both teachers, Aaron and I had the benefit of family vacations being planned around learning opportunities. This was when the homeschooling movement was just beginning, I believe. Can you tell me how you two planned and executed family vacations in regards to Laura Ingalls Wilder and her stories?
Well, I can remember one time we took a vacation to the West Coast. And because Kansas, which is the site of some of the Little House books, was on the way, so we stopped there. So sometimes those vacations were on the way. Dakota Territory was on the way.
And that was a planned one. We did spend a lot of time there at DeSmet.
Yeah.
Is that the one where the house is kind of up on a hill? It's a two-story house, or is that Wisconsin?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, offhand, I'm not sure.
Okay. Was it the one where Aaron locked the keys in the car, or was that DeSmet?
I don't remember that either.
That was in Missouri.
Oh, that's right. We did go to Missouri.
Wow, they moved all over, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
So what little house would that have been? That's close to the end of the series.
Something where she and Almanzo were?
The first 4 years, maybe? Or what's the one just before that?
That could be.
See, I've never read in the entire series. I think I skipped these happy golden years. Was that when he was courting her?
That might have been.
Maybe I did read that one.
And then the
first
4 years is when they were married and they traveled and then Rose came along. And
there was the fire. right? And the house was destroyed.
See, I don't remember that. I didn't read them as many times as he did because I didn't stay in third grade very long. I did teach.
I didn't. Yay, stay. You.
No, I got demoted. I went to kindergarten and then first grade, and that was a little old. The books were a little old for them.
You didn't just get held back; you got moved back.
Yeah.
Okay, then my last question: if listeners haven't already picked up on some of the subtle repetition already, can you talk about how you arrived at naming your beautiful and delightful and intelligent daughter?
Esther has one way.
Okay, I learned about the Little House books through in my first teaching job, and the lady's name was Laura Dewis, and we became really good friends. And she suggested I read those to my students because we both taught third grade, and I liked them. And we liked her so much, we named you for her, but we also liked the character Laura in the Little House books, and so you were really named for two people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's pretty neat.
Not only did I read the books for the sake of reading them and calming the kids down and give them something to listen to, but it was also good for map skills because they moved to about four or five different states. So we talked about Pepin, Wisconsin, Indian Territory, that's now Kansas, Malone, New York. However, we never visited Malone because that was too far away in the opposite direction, and Dakota Territory, and Missouri. So those were good map skills also.
Mm-hmm. Were there other ways in which you applied or brought examples from the Little House stories into your teaching?
Yes, what they did as a family, what they did in their church and the church suppers and the idea of entertainment and visiting various people. Also for me personally, in one of the books, it talked about the prayer that Pa and Ma would say or would go over with their kids at night. And lo and behold, it was the prayer that I grew up with about, now I lay me down to sleep. That was interesting that clear back then they prayed that prayer. And then there was a poem, too, which right offhand I can't remember it now, but there is a poem also.
It's not in one of these books you brought today, is it?
I don't know. It's page 176.
Okay.
I turned right to it.
Oh, wow.
But it's not the book.
Oh,
shit. Well, something I really enjoyed about the books about Almanzo was how their farm was laid out, kind of in a rectangle where all the buildings went around, so it was sort of like a protective feeling.
I think it's gratifying to see how families were and that it did help people in their growing up. And even now that I'm out of school, there are still good things about it, just like right now, being interviewed by our daughter about the Little House books. I like that.
Yeah, I thought how fitting. I've been wanting to record you, and how fitting that it's National Family Literacy Month. Mm-hmm. And I have my own parents who are retired school teachers, and we read the Thanksgiving stories from the Little House books for one of my podcasts for Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for being with me today. I hope our listeners enjoyed and would love to have you back sometime.
Thanks. Nice to have been here.
It was really enjoyable, and I got the best part. I got to hold Hugh on my lap during this interview.
Yep. Mom got to hold Hugh, the new puppy, the whole time.
We hope you've enjoyed this holiday remembrance, and for Mr. Morrison's former students, hope this brought back some great memories. Have a happy Thanksgiving. This has been Laura's Voice. I'm Laura Richcreek. Production copyright 2019.